The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Family Sanity with your host, Dr. Brian Stress. When you or a loved one are facing life's challenges, this hour could be your lifeline to understanding and improving your relationships. No matter your age, there is something here for you. Now, here is Dr. Brian Stress.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Family Sanity, and I'm your host, Dr. Brian Stress. Today, our special co-host, Cynthia Kent, is unavailable. She's predisposed with some other things she has to do. Thanks for joining us today. On our show today will be pharmacist Ted Regalia, as well as Mark Mall, who's a counselor, as well as expert in nutrition. So, Ted, are you out there?
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Today's topic is based on some feedback we got through our website. It's the title is Parenting and Consequences, the Good Consequences, the Bad Consequences, and the Ugly Consequences for Behaviors of All Ages. The function of a parent and or any supervisory relationship is to assist a person in developing the skills to be successful. One of the primary tools towards this goal is to provide consequences that assist the person in developing and using appropriate choices and behaviors to progress towards the identified goal. Consequences can be positive, negative, or actually quite ugly, and we'll talk more about that here shortly, if they're not thought out and appropriately applied. Inappropriate use of consequences may actually result in more frequent and problematic behaviors that will actually drain a parent's or supervisor's resources to the point of extinction. Unfortunately, I've dealt with many cases like that, unfortunately. Today we're going to discuss the types of consequences, how to use consequences appropriately, how consequences can mold behavior for good or bad, and hopefully we'll even get a question or two from our listeners. So with that being said, I think we have to start at the beginning again, where the beginning is, where does behavior come from? Once again, behavior comes from, there's two places. Number one is genetics. So when two people make a child, the child is predisposed to be assertive, passive, possibly even aggressive, things of that nature. So it's in the child's blueprints. It's in their genetic code. So children are born differently with predispositions as to what direction they're going to go throughout their life. And that's generally a combination of course, how mom and dad go through their lives, because, of course, mom and dad are the ones who determine the genetic code. So the genetic code determines how tall somebody is eventually going to be, what color their eyes are going to be, hair color, all the wonderful things. And, of course, the genetic code also, once again, relates to people's choices and behaviors to a certain point. The second place where behavior comes from is when the child interacts with the environment. When I mean the environment, basically the first place a child or baby interacts with the environment, of course, is with their mother and father after they've been born. So the baby either learns to trust people or not trust people based on how that child is treated. And of course, all these, and then the child is actually observing, and very quickly children learn to observe the environment and or how people interact with them. There's been numerous research studies that indicate or suggest that children actually will be babies that are very young will actually be drawn to faces that are smiling and are jocular and they don't have stress. And the baby will actually turn its face away and avoid people who are stressed out or angry or loud because that causes stress within inside of them. So once again, so whenever we talk to or whenever I talk to a patient or a caller and or if I'm supervising somebody at my clinic, one of the things that I always have to do in my mind is where does that behavior come from? So for instance, if I let's say I don't know, roll my eyes or turn my head when I don't want to hear something, and then that's what my employee or the person I'm supervising does to me. I'm modeling that behavior, and they're just following through with what they've been modeled. And I need to own that, that I'm the one that's initiating that behavior, and they're just following through. On the other hand, there are, of course, behaviors with children and or people we supervise that is, of course, from many years of experience and genetic loading prior to me or anyone else ever interacting with them to a certain point. So once again, so behavior comes from, there's genetic loading. People are born with certain dispositions to be assertive, aggressive, things like that, which is quite wonderful in my opinion because it makes us all different. On the other hand, the behavior and choices also come from how we interact with the environment. So if, let's say, somebody is using an inappropriate, a mom or dad is using an inappropriate behavior to manage stress, let's take worst case scenario. Let's say if I'm a parent and every time I get stressed out, I drink some alcohol to escape my feelings and or deal with that stress so I'm not aware of it or I can get some relief from the alcohol, well, that's what I'm modeling to my children. So there's a higher probability my children may follow through with that exact same behavior when they get exposed to alcohol and other forms of chemicals to deal with stress, which unfortunately may not be real good. Especially if it's used inappropriately. Now, we talked about this in previous episodes as well. I generally recommend there's three rules when interacting with people to assist them in developing the skills to be successful. The first rule, of course, is when somebody participates in appropriate behavior, you need to reward them. That's a positive consequence, of course. So, and a reward doesn't have to be you buy that person or that child a new bike or a new car or give them $100. It can just be attention. One of the most influential positive consequences that all of us have towards interacting with other people is just to pay attention to them, to acknowledge their behaviors, their choices. So saying, good job, that a boy, that a girl, touching them on the shoulder, winking at them, smiling at them, all these things can help encourage appropriate choices and behaviors. The next rule in the three rules is when somebody makes a poor choice and or participates in a inappropriate behavior, they need a negative consequence. You know, one of the things that I find really interesting when interacting with parents and or if I'm in a supervisory position is how the person I'm interacting with takes feedback, in particular negative feedback. Well, we need to improve this. We need to do that. Where this is very apparent, and I observe this constantly, is when I'm at children and adolescents athletic activities. And when the coach provides the child or the adolescent with instructions on how to improve their play, how the actual directions as to, well, you need to move, you know, you're playing left field, you need to move to your feet, you need to move 10 feet to your left in order to play this properly, or you need to move to the right, or how to improve their stance when batting. Certainly that applies to any sport. Interestingly, a lot of children and adolescents and adults, they don't accept that feedback. They get defensive, they shut down, they shoot back with, the child or adolescent or adult shoots back with, well, you didn't do this right. And that's, of course, an example of somebody getting real defensive. Unfortunately, that's not real good. That can be quite problematic, and it doesn't result in improvement in the behavior or the choices, which of course, so feedback can actually be incredibly positive because it can assist us in working towards a goal that hopefully we all have. The third rule.
Dr. Stress, in yes. The case of giving the feedback and you're not sure if it's being received or even understood, how do you recommend dealing with that?
Well, generally, it depends on the person you're interacting with or the child or adolescent you're interacting with, because some people are set up to accept feedback. Some aren't. So, for instance, I'm fortunate enough that I participate in a lot of athletic activities. I was fortunate enough to participate in some athletic activities after high school in a formalized setting. One of the things that happened in all those settings, especially with athletics, is everything we did was filmed. And then we had to go sit through it with our coach, who told us over and over again, you know, well, your foot is off this way, you didn't do this right, okay, here's how we have to do this, okay. But when you're talking to somebody, generally, you know, there's that old saying, you know, a teaspoon of sugar before you give them the other part. Well, that depends on the person receiving the information, but certainly starting off the conversation with, here are some of the things you're doing great. Here, you know, these are things that we really appreciate. Or as a child or adolescent, you know, you're trying really hard in your homework, or you're not fighting with your siblings, whatever, and start off on a positive note. And then get into, but here's some things that, you know, here's the goal of the behavior. We want you to bat better. We want you to not fight with your siblings more. Okay, is that your goal as well? And I think that's a really important question you'd ask there, Ted, because a lot of times as a parent or a supervisor, we may have a different goal for that person than they have for themselves. So actually understanding what that person's goal is, so maybe their goal is to beat their brother up or beat their sister up. Well, when we do an intervention of providing them with consequences for doing that, that may make them more angry. So we have to figure out what is their goal, and or if we don't have the same goal, we have to talk about what is an appropriate goal here.
Is it appropriate to bring in impact and this is why it's inappropriate?
Sure.
Try to bring some kind of logic or rationality?
Logic is good depending on that person's age and their ability to process that information. So like with a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old child, talking to them about why they misbehaved right when they're misbehaving, probably not such a good idea. It'd be better to say no and help them to assist them in going to a timeout. Then once they've calmed down, talk to them at their level and say, okay, now, you know, you were teasing the dog. You were pulling him the dog's tail. Okay, that's not appropriate. That's not good. That hurt the dog. So the reason that you were asked to go to a timeout, and thank you for going to the timeout area, is that you were participating in this behavior, pulling the dog's tail. So please stop doing that. Can you tell me you're going to try to stop doing that? And then so there's that teachable moment after the timeout. But a 3-year-old, a 5-year-old, depending on their language skills, their understanding, you really have to be incredibly concrete and simplistic in how you address them. So that's a good question. Okay. And of course, the final rule is when people, it's okay.